Is the Ryan Gorman Show on News Radio WFLA.
Ryan Gorman here with Dana McKay and James Berlander. Now let's bring in our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff. You can find him online at daytradefund.com. That's daytradefund.com. Jay, it's great to talk to you. And since the last time we spoke, we got some new inflation data, some new retail sales numbers, and both, I think, seem to indicate that it's unlikely the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates anytime soon. We'll probably still get some cuts at some point in 2024, but those who were thinking they were going to be aggressive in cutting interest rates, I think they need to rethink that following this latest batch of data.
Yeah, the recent news, Ryan, is certainly causing a lot of the people that were big-time proponents on aggressive and several interest rate cuts, as many as seven for the course of 2024, certainly backpedaling just a bit as we're seeing what some are worried that could end up developing into a trend. And we'll have to wait and see if that's the case with some of the numbers that you had mentioned being a little bit stronger in a bad sense than what we would like to see. And even right now on Wall Street, the idea of an interest rate cut in June is starting to see a little bit of a cooling off as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if we could see something by the middle of the year, but as you and I have talked about since last fall coming into this year, I think if we could walk away with what Jerome Powell had indicated, maybe as many as three interest rate cuts in 2024, I would consider that a huge, huge win. At this point in time, we're still paused. We'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. And if some of these numbers continue, I hate to even say it, but it's out there. If the Fed feels like they need to raise interest rates one more time, they're going to do it because they followed their game plan lock and step every step of the way here. And they're simply not going to change what they've been doing simply because it's not a popular opinion. Because, look, what they're doing is not politically motivated. It is economically motivated. And as they look at things from a macro and a micro standpoint, they're going to do everything they can to try to make sure that we stay ahead of inflation, regardless if it's a popular decision or not.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if this latest batch of inflation data is a blip or a trend. It's right. Certainly too early to say that it's some kind of a trend, but we were moving in a pretty positive direction, albeit slowly, in terms of bringing those inflation numbers closer to the Federal Reserve's 2% target. And then this kind of like a bit of a speed bump there.
And that's an excellent point. And, you know, for a lot of the people that thought, well, the battle with inflation's over, Jay, I'm thinking, no, it's not. I mean, some of the recent data has suggested that we're getting an upper hand. But to simply dismiss inflation as, I mean, you're just ignoring all the different components that make up the inflationary data. And there's always concerns. And of course, being students of history, as you and I are, we're aware of the fact that there's been times in the past where we've battled as a country economically inflation, and times when we've done a good job and other times when we've not. And the times that we've not, we've allowed it to just blow by us, thinking that we had it licked, it's over, and it turned out not to be the case. And sadly, it was something we fought for a number of years after that fact. So I'm not in the camp that's going to dismiss the fact that this battle with inflation is over, done with, let's move on, because I still think that there's some serious work that needs to be done moving forward. And that's one of the reasons that seeing that, it's always curious to me to see the optimism on Wall Street as we approach new highs all the time. And I think we came off of a losing week for the first time in 4 or 5 weeks on the Dow. But, you know, Ryan, you're seeing people right now that are reading articles about all these recent highs, and they're moving money into the market, not because that was their predetermined plan, but because emotionally, which is the most dangerous way to trade, they're feeling as though they're missing out on something. And that fear of missing out, that FOMO that we talk about all the time, is very real. And it's a very driving emotion. And sadly, it's causing some people that normally would be reserved on the sidelines, keeping their money back, looking for opportunities where stocks go on sale to jump on them. They're moving that money in right now at times when some of these stocks are at all-time highs. And I cannot agree with that move because, you know, history tells us that, you know, you follow the crowd at this point in time, and many times it's a move you end up regretting.
We're joined by our market and air travel expert, Jay Ratliff. You can find him online at daytradefund.com. Again, that's daytradefund.com. So Dana has an interesting story, and I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to it. It's how if one thing goes wrong when you're set to fly somewhere, it could really snowball from there.
Yeah, it really did. So my dad and stepmom were supposed to fly to Orlando Saturday morning to do a Disney vacation with her kids and grandkids. And their flight to Orlando got canceled Saturday morning. They couldn't get another flight until Sunday night. So they decide to fly to Tampa. They're like, we'll just rent a car in Tampa, drive to Orlando. Well, my dad starts trying to get rental cars, and he cannot get a rental car in Tampa. So I said, I'll come pick you guys up. I'll drive you to Orlando. But it was raining and all that. They had a terrible flight landing. So they ended up staying at my house because they wanted to get a hotel and have their own space. The cheapest hotel they could find was $400. So if I wasn't here, they would have ended up spending $400 on a hotel, and then I had to get them to Orlando by 10:30 the next morning, or the rental car place was going to charge them another $100 change fee to change their rental car. So I got them to Orlando. They got to where they needed to be, but these are people in their 70s.
Yeah.
Traveling is already stressful for them, and it was a lot. So thankfully, I was able to help them, got to spend some time with them, but it just goes to show the domino effect of these airlines, and they got like a $12 food voucher or something for all the trouble.
And Dana, they were catching one of the first flights out of the day, correct?
Yeah, it was a maintenance issue with the plane. Mm. And then my stepmother was like, there's all these other JetBlue planes sitting there. Like, they couldn't have just used one of those and moved some things around. But yeah, I mean, what a nightmare start to their trip.
They were tightening the bolts on those planes.
Yeah, some assembly required. We've talked about that with Boeing. But, you know, thankfully they had a Dana in their life that could help kind of save the day on that. But there's a lot of times when that's not the case. And, look, I had a flight Friday night that was delayed to the point I missed a connection coming back to Savannah. So you have these aggravations, and they happen. But it's a perfect example of how, there's a lot of times that people – they don't have a backup plan for things. You know, we do it with stocks. We always know where we're going to buy a stock and sell it if it goes up or down. And a lot of times if I go to the airport, I've already looked in advance. If my flight's delayed to the point I'm going to miss my connection, I have an idea of some additional flights I can ask the agent about. Hey, how about a flight through Detroit? How about this connection through Dallas? Whatever it might happen to be, I've always got a backup plan just in case things go a little bit awry.
That's smart.
And sadly, right now, a lot of times when people show up, those other flights are filled, which limits the options that an agent might have. But the other thing is, anytime I buy a stock, I expect it to go down. I always expect things to go worse, and obviously 80% of the time it goes up, so I'm happy. So when I go to the airport, I'm still expecting things to go bad. That way I've got a backup plan.
Love that, Jay.
Because my dad told me, look, in baseball, know what you're going to do with the ball before you get it. And when you travel and in life, that's exactly how you're prepared so that you can make quick decisions under times when are a little pressure. So you've got at least an idea of, you know, what's my backup plan going to be if things go south. But, Dana, I'm glad you were there for your parents in 70. I'm not 70, but I'm not that far away from it. It's not that old. So they're doing
They said it, not me. They said, we're old people.
I just want to throw that out there. Although I just crossed 60, so I'm coming to terms with that. But, don't be throwing them out there. It's quite that old with that. But, look, it's stressful. And hats off to them for catching the first flight out of the day, because typically that's the flight that is going to be the flight that's going to be on time. Obviously, if a maintenance issue, you want them to fix the plane, and those other aircraft were assigned to go other places, so it would have been difficult for them to just pull one of those planes off and inconvenience two flights as opposed to one. But I'm just glad they got there safe and their vacation is underway.
Well, Jay, I knew there was a reason I liked you. You're an eternal pessimist. We definitely have that in common.
Expect things to go wrong.
It's the way that, and then when you make the decisions, people say, man, because I did it at the airport. I was always envisioning things going wrong. And people would say, you're such a fast thinker. Well, I love that compliment. Yeah. That's not necessarily the case. I've just thought things through.
Right.
And it was a number of years ago that I teamed up with Marlo Thomas. She did a book. It was about the right words at the right time. And I used that very concept, which was a lesson that my dad taught me, and they threw it in Reader's Digest and did some different things with it. And it's a story that I love. I'll toss it to you guys so you can see it. But it's an idea in life of just always knowing what you're going to do ahead of time. So when that decision arrives, you just make the choice. And it does make you look like a fast thinker. And I don't mind people thinking that.
Our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff, with us this morning. You can find him online again at daytradefund.com. That's daytradefund.com. Jay, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.